Welcome, venturers, to another episode! Thank you all so much for being here. Before we dive in, I want to give a huge thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song, to Sirenscape for providing additional background music, and to the wonderful venturers who continue to support the show with donations on Patreon, kind words in podcatcher reviews, and recommendations on social media. You all are the beating heart of what we do, and we are so lucky to have each and every one of you in our party. Before I give you the recap and toss you right back into the spicy Campaign 2 action, I want to share some excellent news! In case you haven't heard the word, this very week, on Wednesday, May 8th, 2022, we've got a new live show starting up on the Venture Maidens Twitch channel. Sage is going to be running an incredible cast of players through an Urban Shadows game. The show is called Gilded Shadows, and it uses the Powered by the Apocalypse RPG mechanics to transport you into the cyberpunk world of Los Angeles in the year 2050. The first season will be 10 episodes, with each streaming live on alternating Wednesdays on the Venture Maidens Twitch channel, and all video recordings posted to our YouTube channel. So dress to the nines in your grittiest, urbanized version of Hollywood glamour, and join us live for the premiere episode Wednesday, May 11th, 2022, at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Alright, that's the good word I've got for you. So now here's a summary of what happened last time, then we'll dive right into the show. Our heroes found themselves in the heat of battle with two Grey Ooze minions of the Duke of Pudding. After a messy fight, the trash-inhabiting creatures were dispatched, and our crew were free to travel further down into the tunnels, through a large sewer grate. They dropped down into a watery labyrinth of identical tunnels and quickly discovered the hidden note they had found earlier was a partial set of directions. As they continued through the maze, a false turn resulted in Lou getting showered by acidic green slime, and the final wrong passage has now brought them face to face with an undulating cube creature blocking their path! And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Closer now to the fairy lair for a fight that is hardly fair. But our heroes must succeed to win the items they need. Stay out of the shadows as we head into Campaign 2, Episode 15. Duke it out!
Hello, hello, everybody! Welcome back to another episode of Venture Maidens! Wow! Oh, so happy to be here. This has felt like the longest 2 weeks ever as I've been finishing up the Venture Maidens campaign guide, and it's officially in editing, which is very cool.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Super stressful to get there. So, how are you all doing, though?
Excellent.
I'm getting a puppy maybe tomorrow. So.
Oh my god.
What?
Life is good. Excellent.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
Oh my god. Extremely cool. Well, yeah, obviously big things are happening here at the Venture Maidens podcast. So welcome, everybody. If you are new here, hey, we are the Venture Maidens. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play stream that converts to a podcast that publishes every other Sunday on every podcast platform out there. I do have to warn you all, this is a very adult stream. There's lots of swearing, cursing. We have some really fun content warnings for this episode since we are in a poop dungeon at the moment. So content warnings in general.
A literal one.
A literal poop dungeon. Literal poop dungeon. Sorry, everyone. It's gross. So content warnings are the same as last week. Slime, gross things, body horror are all themes that you can expect in tonight's episode. So if you can't handle that this evening, this may not be the stream for you to watch. But other than that, I mean, shit, guys, I'm excited. Let's get into this
shit. Literally
shit. Yeah. About to shit all over you in this fight. So here we go. sorry. It's been a weird week. Let's do it. Woo, I'm ready. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Konowich, and tonight I will be your dungeon master.
Hello. My name is Katie, and I'm going to be playing Lou Pink Eyes Sath, your drow rogue.
I don't like this already. I'm Nassim. I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I am Sage, and I have been your bullshit bard, Eva Flannery.
Yay! Oh, yes. So we are picking up. Last time we stormed through a dungeon, our first like full dungeon crawl of this campaign. We've made it pretty far. A little hurt, a little worse for wear, but doing good. We're still at it. Ready to rock. So that is exactly where we are picking up. You had found the Duke of Pudding's lair deep within the sewers underneath Chasiana. You had navigated a series of rooms, fought some minions, got a cool pot that makes slime, gone down a sewer grate. You had used this little note to kind of navigate this labyrinth of other tunnels that are all like underwater in this place now. You had made a series of two correct turns, and now here you are in another one of these rooms that has the four directions you can choose to go in, and you seem to have guessed wrong as you turn this corner and you are confronted. Now, you're in one of these completely stone round tunnels, and as a reminder, these are filled up with like filthy sewer water, so there's really only like a couple inches of breathable air at the top. So you all have been like wading through this and, you know, sticking up for air. And at the end of this stone way, where there would be a dead end, as you've seen on other places, just in front of that is this interesting wall of blue gelatinous stuff. And it takes you a minute to realize kind of what it is as it starts moving towards you. And you realize this blue cube has been shoved down, you know, into this circle shape. So it looks like this wall that is rapidly approaching you. So there is no way to go behind it. Back the way you came leads again into that circular chamber. And as a reminder, you did come, I think, from the east. And last time you had decided to go, yeah, down the southern passageway. So if you make it back into the circle room, you haven't been to the west and you haven't been north. So one of those might be the correct way to go. But yeah, this thing is coming at you right now. And the good news is that it seems to be moving very slowly as it's like shoving its body like a sponge being pulled through a tube that's just a little bit smaller than it should be. So in this moment, what do you all want to do? It is coming at you, so if it gets to you, it is going to attack. But you probably have, so again, this is all underwater, so it's all difficult terrain, so everybody's movement speed is halved. So this thing is moving at a rate of 7.5 feet every round.
It's a mighty dash action right there.
A mighty dash, yeah. It is slow.
I think we should make a break for it because yeah.
Outrun the bastard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At our 30 feet if we dash.
Yeah, because you all are down to 15, you know.
Yeah. We're going to push through the sludge and the shit.
Yep.
Like slow motion, the anti-babe watch.
Yep.
Or babe watch.
Yep. Truly. Like, our hair is like slapping on our face.
I think this is hilarious because I'm just imagining if a bunch of people were standing in the bottom of a pool chasing each other like underwater. How funny that would look.
I'm just happy to know that Bartleby is doing this with us.
Oh, you don't see him.
I thought he like winked out of existence when
he's
went down.
He's been
there.
Kind of floating above water or sort of fading into the background. He appears every once in a while, like when there's a lot more air in the taller circular chambers. But other than that, he just seems invested.
Man.
In.
Kill him. No,
I swear, Bartleby, if you can help any one of us out here, even a little, I'm sure you can share your little flighty power with us, but We'll have a chat about that after we get out of here if we learn otherwise.
As you're, like, yelling this and, like, running in slow motion away from the cube, you yeah. hear you hear a disembodied voice from somewhere going, I'm saving my spell slot.
All right.
Oh, did you actually plan on fighting later? How kind of you.
As you're making your way through the tunnel. Well,
Lou's just like, keep moving.
All right. Amazing. So you make it back. Yeah, you make it back into the central chamber and you have a choice. Are you going to go west or are you going to go north? The thing is, if you pick the wrong one, this thing probably does actually have a chance of sneaking up behind you and trapping you. So
north.
All right. So Aoife starts swimming towards the north.
I hope you're right.
Fuck. So as you start swimming across the way here, you see at the end of this long circular hallway. Let me double check. Did you pick right? Did you pick right? Oh, yes, you did. So as you walk up, you're swimming up to the edge of this thing. You're like, oh, my God, as you see another flat stone wall at the end of this hallway, and your heart just sinks. And then you blink and look at it again, and you realize, yes, it is a flat wall, but it doesn't have a ceiling up on it. It's like a well that leads upwards. So you haven't seen a place like this yet. And as you're looking at the stone wall and getting closer and closer, you can see, like, it is covered in that same kind of, you know, algae film that everything has been covered in. So it looks really slippery. But there are places where the patches have clearly been, like, moved away, or, like, maybe, like, somebody climbing it, like, handholds up this wall.
Okay.
And you just hear that.
Oh, yeah.
As this creature comes behind you now, and you're all standing in this tunnelway, and it continues to squeegee its way towards you.
Oh, no. Lou is just like, she just shoves people to the side and just makes for those handholds.
My movement speed is actually 35 feet, so.
Oh, shit. All right, well, get your big goat butt up there.
This is what we were made for.
Sweet. All right, so Aoife, you're the first one up then. So the wall is slippery. This is a very difficult surface to climb, so you're going to have to make me an athletics check to see if you can do this.
Can I see the top of it?
You can. It looks like it's probably only about 20 feet up.
Okay, because I've got some mirthful leaps. Ooh. And I can roll a d8 to the number.
Seder shit.
So whenever I make a long or a high talent. Jump, I can roll some random fucking Seder shit. Yeah, so whenever I make a long or high jump, I can roll a d8 and add the number rolled to the number of feet I can cover even when making a standing jump, and the extra distance movement costs as normal. Okay, so yeah.
Amazing. So, okay.
Gosh, what are the rules for high jumping?
Oh my god, it's like something... yeah, it's complicated. Here, wait. High jump.
Sage doesn't even know the rules.
Oh my god, it's so obscure. Sage doesn't even know them. Well, Sage, why don't you go ahead and look that up? And in the meantime, let's have Tony and Lou make their athletics checks to see how they do.
Okay.
All right. 21 for Tony.
Holy shit. Okay.
I got a 17 plus zero.
All right. So
I want to be out of here.
Yeah. You're like, bye. So you both do great. Like you've done slime rock climbing 1,000 times before, as you find the holds. Or even Tony, if you don't find the holds, it doesn't even matter because your fingers dig into, like, the crumbling stone of this place and you're, like, crawling up this wall. No problem. You both managed to make it to the top. What's our high jump situation?
Sweet.
So whenever you make a high jump, you leap into the air a number of feet equal to 3 plus your strength modifier. So since it's 20 feet up, even if I roll a max on that D8, it's not happening. So it's good to know, though. We'll go ahead and make that athletic.
Now we know.
Oh, nice. All right. Now we know. And that is... that's a 7.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no. Let me help you. I reach down.
No, this is all happening. This is all happening right now. So So you go, and Tony, you're like, no, you can spend your action, I'll say, next turn doing that. But this kind of starts a pseudo-initiative at this point now. So Tony and Lou, you manage to reach the top of this place. And you can see you're standing on, like, a very small balcony. And just across from you, maybe 5 feet away, is another of those big, heavy, you know, steel doors that you've been seeing through this place here. And carved into the surface is that same symbol you saw before in that room with all the graffiti that looked like kind of, you know, the pad for people serving this place. The kind of pyramid of, like, undulating rolls. You're like, maybe fat rolls or jelly. Now you're starting to, like, get the theme of this place with the two googly eyes. So that door is immediately across from you. And Aoife, you start climbing and, you know, you give yourself your little leap that you're used to, and just immediately your hands just lose the grip and just slide down, and you're covered in, like, green filth as you splash to the bottom here.
Ugh.
And before you can, you know, collect yourself or stand up, you see this blue tendril come out of this thing that's been falling out behind you as this pseudopod lashes out and towards you. So let's see. Oh, okay. Well, it only got a 5. So this blue, like, lash lands, like, and tries to hit you, but it moves in such slow motion through the water that even in your state, you're able to dodge to the side and avoid this thing, and the tendril waggles curiously at you, seeming confused by why that didn't work. So, let's see. In terms of initiative, I think, Lou, you're probably the fastest in general. So let's say you have a turn right now. What are you doing?
She is going to go ahead and take the rope out of her pack. And she'll use bonus action to use object and tie, like, a really sturdy knot on it. Nice. So that Aoife can get her little hoof in and hold on to it. And then shove the rope into Tony's hand.
No. Here you go. Okay, and then Tony, it would be your turn, but do you want to hold for Aoife to take the turn and grab the rope?
Whatever is easiest.
Yeah, so you get, like, whacked with a heavy rope while you're avoiding this thing and covered in filth and scraping it out of your eyes. You feel that drop on you from above.
Yeah, she feels the knot sort of swing and thunk into the side of her head, and she kind of shakes her head, and she's like, oh, thanks, Lou! And she immediately grabs onto it and, like, starts, like, try to dig her hooves into the little crevices within the walls and climbing up.
Okay, so go ahead and make me that athletics check again with advantage.
Way better. That's a 19 plus 1 for 20.
There you go. So as you are, you know, scrambling up with the rope, and I mean, Tony, I imagine you're helping Lou, and between all of you, you manage to, like, haul Aoife soaking wet, you know, over onto this small little balcony that has become very cramped with all of you, and Bartleby, who's just lurking against the door somehow. You don't know how he got there, but there he is. And you look... You look back down this, like, 20 feet at this blue cube thing that now that it gets, like, towards the end here, that's a little bit less constricted. You see it pops out into, yeah, this perfect cube shape. And now you can tell, looking down at it, there's a bunch of, like, trash and garbage floating in its gelatinous body. So maybe it's, like, a trash disposable creature. You're not really sure, but the little tendril, you know, it only goes up about 5 feet, and it's kind of waving at you all like a hand, but it doesn't seem to be able to climb.
Bye, beach.
Maybe it was just trying to hold your hand. It never hurt you. Who knows?
We don't got time to make friends right now, okay?
Yeah, you don't have much longer before that midnight point when you had to be in place to meet the Duke of Pudding. So time is short. But now you are standing in front of this door that looks very much, I might say, like a final boss door. Just as a tip of the tip of the head, if there's anything you want to do at this point.
I would love to drink my acid resist potion. That sounds really great to me right now.
Sweet. Yeah, so we only had two. So what was the decision again between Tony and Aoife?
It was Aoife and Lou. And Aoife chugged hers when that thing came down from the ceiling and attacked Lou. She's like, oh, we're chugging now.
Oh, sweet. Okay. All right, then you're good. I believe those last for like an hour, right?
So yeah, an hour.
Yeah.
So if you happen to take acid damage, don't forget, kids, to have it because you have resistance. I will not remind you. So this is your warning.
Every point counts for me right now, so I'll remember.
And so Bartleby speaks to you all. Well, we've made it, surprisingly. Are you ready?
Covered in shit. Can't get much worse. So I guess yes, guys?
Yeah, definitely ready to move along and get the fuck out of here as fast as possible.
Me too. This is highly unpleasant.
Yeah, you look totally fine, but sure, let's go in.
Well, thank you. One more thing. As I said before, this person, the Duke, is a courtier of the Slytherin court, which means they have powers given to them by their sovereign. Don't underestimate them. Whatever you do, don't trust what you see. The Slytherin court has a way of preying, feeding on fear. So expect them to be trying something.
Okay. All right.
Great. Well, hopefully this will just be a nice chat. He nods, looking unconvinced, and then points at the door for you, Lou, to open it.
Oh, okay, sure. She's going to look for traps because that's all she needs right now.
Yeah, the last thing I need. Okay, so yeah, you look at this door and you're like, wow, no, it's not trapped. It doesn't even appear to be locked.
Great. Open it up.
You open up the door and you see just beyond a very large room. This room here is, it's a domed shaped room and much bigger than any of the rooms you've been in so far, which is a nice change of pace. You've been in these claustrophobic stone tunnels so far. And you can actually see some light that is pouring in, from somewhere. It doesn't look like natural sunlight because it is nighttime, but there are like red lights from something up above that come down through various grates in the ceiling. And on the floor, you see it's littered with trash, and there's some water here, but not enough to make this difficult terrain. It looks like most of the water creeps down to the lower places here. But yeah, like other junk around the space. A lot of large barrels. Have you seen oil barrels that have been, some of them upright, a lot of them tipped over, and tires, things of that nature, like scattered about. And at the very center of the room is this gorgeous, huge clawfoot tub, like this marble white tub. Yeah, there's some chipping and stuff on it, but it was probably really gorgeous in the day. And you can see that inside the tub is just this black liquid, this black viscous goo of some kind. And as you take all of this in really, really quickly, you hear a high-pitched scream come from somewhere in the room at the very back, a very feminine scream. And then you see something drop from the ceiling. And there's this like grating sound of like rusty metal as this cage drops. And you see within it is like it's speckled with rust and this nasty bent thing. And inside the cage, it's large enough for about like a medium-sized creature, is a person made out of paper, you think, if you had to guess. You are looking at them. They're vaguely like feminine shape, but all of their features seem to be made out of parchment that has been sculpted into like the form of a person. And the scream definitely came from them as they are now rocketing back and forth in this cage, right, that has been swinging and dropped from the ceiling. And you hear her say, Bartleby! And then you start to hear like a laughing sounds bubbling like from around the room, the various oil drums and other containers, and the loudest, throatiest one coming from this white marble bathtub in the center that surges upwards into kind of a form of a humanoid shape. And you see floating in like the sticky ooze that would be its head is like this little golden crown that's just like dipping in and out and disappearing of it. And this thing says in a voice that definitely not human, it clearly doesn't have a mouth, that says,
"Ha ha, you fools, you have come into my lair, the Duke of Pudding. What have you to say for yourselves, trespassers?"
Why do we have to keep reminding everyone that we have a feckin' appointment?
Oh, what are you, little Bartleby lackeys?
And you see the ooze forms into the shape of a pointy finger and looks down and points at all of you. And Bartleby kind of steps forward and says, "Now listen. There has been so much unpleasantness between us. Perhaps we can just make this exchange and be on our way. I'm not sure why my living spellbook was of interest to you, but I'm sure we can all just agree to part ways peacefully, right?" And as he's saying this, you can see that all these little like black ooze things are starting to pour out of the various oil drums, like at the edge of the room, as you see more of these slime creatures, similar to the ones you saw before that animated those armors, coming out here. "Right, just, this is fine." And look, he looks at all of you.
Lou just kind of gives him a look out of the corner eye, and she's like, "I don't want to fuck this up for you, but it's not looking good, so just say the word."
"You know, I need to go deal with that." And he kind of points at this living spellbook who's like swinging back and forth in the cage, this paper person he referred to before. "And then I'll handle," and he kind of points around the room at the edges, and then goes, "If you handle," and points forward at this undulating figure screaming from this bathtub.
"Got it.
Sounds great.
Let's do this." And Lou is going to start running in.
Hell yeah. So Bartleby sighs, and you see from nowhere, you don't know, remember if he had this before, but he has like this cane at his side that he reaches out and like pulls out a blade from it as he too runs into the room. So initiative time. Yay. Super fun. All right, everybody. What did we get? Lou?
23.
Tony got a 12.
And Aoife got a 6.
Oh, fun. That's good. Okay, let me roll. I have a few things to roll. 1 second.
Okay, take your time.
So how many of these little barrel boys are there?
It looks like there are a lot, but Bartleby did say he would handle that. You don't know what that means, because he is clearly running for the person in the cage. So you would say maybe about 15 or so. They are significantly smaller than this thing, whatever it is, in the bathtub, if that is all one being. You really don't know, because there's still a bunch of goop filling up this big clawfoot tub, and the figure that's been yelling at you is basically like a torso shape that's kind of come to life out of the muck. If you all have ever seen that episode of Star Trek Next Gen where Tasha Yar totally like dies, that's what this thing looks like.
Oh my god, spoiler alert!
All right, so Lou, true to form, you have the first move here. I will say the bathtub is probably about 30 feet away from you, like in the dead center of this room, like a weird throne.
I will go ahead and make my way up there. She will unsheathe her longest knife and just go in for her first attack.
All right. You try it. You just try it.
Okay. That is an 18.
Tell me, what are you hitting with?
It is a very long fish carving knife, so a short sword is the
okay. Magical?
Equivalent. No, regular.
Okay.
I'm level 3.
Yay! Oh no. Good thing we're fighting Fae. So, yeah, with the 18, you absolutely stab into this thing. It doesn't seem to react much or be able to move much from what you can tell. So, yeah, where are you hitting it?
She's just going to try to slice through right in the center. This doesn't seem like anything anatomy-wise she's ever encountered, so yeah, she's not like, really going for anything vital. Yeah,
like the heart. yeah. Fair enough.
Just whatever's easiest. So she will go. It's going to be 5 plus 3 is 8, plus 2 is 10, plus 2, 12 points of piercing, I believe.
Would you check for me? It's actually very important.
Yes, it is piercing.
So 12 non-magical piercing damage. So yeah, you stab into this thing and it does about what you think it would do. You know, stabbing a sword into oil. So I will say it does about half damage. So it looks like this thing has resistance to non-magical piercing damage. So some of it splatters off to the way, but it just goes, ha ha ha!
Gross.
Mortal steel! How funny!
Fucking rude.
Yeah, it's extremely rude. And that is that.
And then for her bonus action, she's going to go ahead and take out one of her chef knives. And she's going to keep it in like the little sheath that she has for it and hold it on the opposite end and try to bash into it with the opposite end to do bludgeoning.
Go ahead and try it.
We'll see. Okay, that's gonna be 15.
A 15 will also hit. This thing doesn't seem to even be trying to move out of the way.
That has my energy. It's 3 bludgeoning damage.
All right, and as you hit it with the butt and trying, you know, more splattering to see if it does anything else, it has about the same effect here. So just the non-magical damage seems to only be about half as effective.
Gotcha.
As you would like it to be. So it continues to go, making this like burbling sound, like the imitation of a human sound.
Lou just shouts back, find its mouth and cut it out. My God, it's annoying.
Oh, yes. Tony, so we come to you now. So you see Lou is trying to hit this thing in the bathtub.
Then we'll also swing our greatsword. At the Duke of Pudding.
The Duke of Pudding! Yes, go ahead and try and hit the Duke!
Well, that's gonna be an 8.
An 8 will not hit. So you try to stab down into this thing, and you see it scooches its mass out of it until you can see, like, the yellowed bottom of the tub. So it isn't like a pool. It can move very quickly. It just didn't seem to even try when Lou hit it. So it scooches out of the way and it goes, oh no, can't catch me.
Damn, I was like, it's so low, I won't need to use my inspiration to hit it.
Yeah.
But I guess now would be the time, right, to action surge. So we'll try this again.
All right.
Natural 20. Here we go.
Yeah.
I use the momentum of the mist swing to come all the way back around full circle and slash into it.
Beautiful.
Beautiful indeed. Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Roll me that sweet, sweet critical damage.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13,
14, 15. 15, okay. You know what? I am sorry, Lou. I forgot that as you hit this thing, you are actually going to be taking a little bit of damage as it splatters on you.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Ouchie.
Oh, geez. And that's a fun Slytherin court thing, too. That makes this so much worse. Okay, so one second. One second, team. All right, so first off, Lou, you're going to take 5 points of acid damage.
Have to two,
because of the potion. But I also need you to make me a constitution saving throw, please. Okay, you are fine. As this hits your skin, though, you manage to wipe it off very quickly, but where it touches, your skin kind of turns a weird brownish color, and it sizzles a little bit before you can get it off. So If this touches your skin, it's probably not going to be great for you. So Nassim, you, Tony got 15 damage, was it?
Yeah.
And that is non-magical, what type of damage?
Slashing.
So that is about half as effective as you would like it to be. So that means taking 7 damage. And as you cleave through this thing, it starts to jiggle violently, like vibrating. And you hear like a splitting sound as you see now in the tub, 2 of these things exist, like wiggling at you with that humanoid shape, as if your like slashing motion just cut it into 2 separate beings. And in unison, you hear, "Oh, I've got a few tricks up my sleeve too." It's saying at you simultaneously. So now there are 2 puddings. 2.
Beautiful. Very nice. The more the merrier.
Love this. Love that split ability, oozes. Love that. Okay, hang on. Let me do some math here to figure out my new double boys. My double pudding boys. Duke number 1 and Duke number 2. Nice. Great. And Tony, as you slash down on this thing, you too are splattered by this liquid. So you're going to take 2 acid damage. Unfortunately, you didn't have a potion, so you were just going to have to take that. But I do need you to make me a constitution saving throw.
Hotay. That's the one I'm good at least. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. a 17.
17. So a similar thing happens to you as like this splatters on your skin. You wipe it off very quickly. But you feel like if you hadn't made that, it would be bad news, which is just something to keep in mind, dear fighters, as you are up front. Cool. Anything else for your turn, Tony?
That's it. I'll step back after that, if I can move
you
again.
Would be provoking 2 attacks of opportunity against you.
Oh, that's
if you
right.
Were to move
that's
back.
Right. I always forget that. Nope. Never mind. I'll just
here by this tub.
Take a defensive stance for the rest of my.
Okay, you look cool, you look ready.
Does it take an action to do so?
Bonus action.
Then yeah, I'll just take my defensive stance.
Okay, tell us again what that does.
It's basically so that I can protect others from taking harm by taking a defensive stance until the end of my next turn. So anyone within 5 feet of me gets a +2 to their armor class.
All right, Lou, that's nice.
And if you are targeted by a spell, I can use my reaction to make the spell attack target me instead.
Hell yeah, that's rad.
Targeted by a spell or attack.
Yes, spell or an attack.
Spell or attack. So if it attacks Lou, you can choose for it to attack you instead.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, that's like the Legionnaire's core fighter. So new subclass from the Venture Man's campaign guide for all of you watching. It's groovy shit.
She protect and attack. Yes.
Yay. All right, so that is going to bring us to Aoife.
Oh boy, that's me. She is going to plunge her hands into her little sewing pouch that's like also her components pouch, and she pulls out and she throws these thimbles at the split Duke of Pudding, and you see all of these needles sort of like these like little spectral needles shoot out and into the Duke as she casts Bane upon the two of them. And so I need them to make a charisma saving throw for me, please.
Okay. I will warn you. Feifei, I have magic resistance, so I am rolling with advantage on this. So here we go. But I am rolling physical dice, so luckily my luck is much worse with those. So let's see, that's a 15 on the die.
That will save.
Believe I have to take some penalties because oozes are not particularly charismatic. Yeah, all right, -3, so a 12.
A 12 does not make it.
There you go. See, oozes, again, disgusting. They're disgusting. They have terrible charisma. So
that was really what I was hoping for. I was like, I do not feel like they would have high charisma. Beautiful. So whenever you make an attack roll or a saving throw, you -1d4 from it.
Hate.
Always come to an ooze fight with banishment prepared. That charisma will save you.
The hell out of here. You gelatinous pile of shit. All right. So, yeah. So you hear like a, ha ha, that will never, what? From the two oozes as your magic takes hold. So
beautiful, minus, and that is her turn.
God damn it. Oh, ooze. Get you every time. So that's a bummer for me. Fine, whatever. I love it. But that does bring us to our dear friend, the Duke of Puddings. So we have two people right here, just right here, ripe for the pudding in. So these two now gelatinous figures kind of seep over the edge of the bathtub. They're not moving beyond their square, but they are like plopping onto the ground beside both you all here. And we're just going to do one for one since there are now two of them. So the first one, let's see, what is my new attack here? Oh, I have some fun. I have some fun court stuff I can do.
Fun for who?
Fun for me, for Cece. So as these two figures like plop onto the ground and start undulating kind of into these tall, very thin column-shaped people, it's very creepy, creepy, like thin, like Slenderman shit as they're standing up over you. And you see their faces open up in these holes that are filled with like red light and like oozing filth that spews over you as they go boo. And I need you both to make charisma saving throws for me.
Ah, fuck.
You know what this is, Katie, because your dear friend Lorenzo had it.
Yep. I'm gonna use my bardic inspiration.
I got a 19.
Okay, that's a save.
I got a 14.
14 is also a save. Lucky you. So the Duke tried to use his disturbing aspect on you all to no effect. So like this, you know, the spewing mouth turns into a frown as that didn't seem to work. But that was just a bonus action. So they go, well, we'll just do this instead. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What?
Oh, and Katie, since you use my bardic inspiration on a saving throw, you gain a number of temporary hit points equal to the number rolled on the die plus 3 as part of my super cool bardic Song of Creation feature.
What?
So you see like the little heart that you have stashed on you all of a sudden goes pink, and like a little like magical firework comes out, and like you see little hearts. Whoa. Around. Wow. Around blue.
Oh, wow. My god. How could you be more precious?
Love will keep us together, our bodies together from bleeding. Oh.
Definitely saving it for a saving throw now.
Right?
Shit,
I need
yeah.
to start reading what you guys can actually do.
Yeah.
As well as what I can do.
Mid-maxing. Shit, cool. So you feel so much better all of a sudden, just in time for this ooze to slice at you with its little tendril thingies. Ain't that nice? Yeah. All right.
So nice.
It does have Bane, so I am going to reduce that by 4. Oh no, I don't have a D4. What am I doing? Where did my D4 go? Oh, there it is. It's the diamond-shaped one, so I was confused. The ones that Joe makes.
I can never find them.
Okay, so that'll be a 15 to hit you, Lou. Will that hit?
Not with Tony's guard.
Oh, shit. So, Tony, how do you block this strike upon your friend?
Probably throwing up her shield instead.
Yeah, a sick move, Lou. You're like, oh, shit, as it's coming at you. And Tony's like, bap, and it just, you know, slaps off of the shield here.
The power of friendship is really going to save my life in this fight.
Wow. Yeah, it's really good. It is really good. But I will say your shield is in trouble as it makes contact with, because your shield is made out of metal. Yes?
Oh, no. Yes, it is. It's just an army shield. Whatever.
Oh, care. So as this, you block the tendril strike, you hear a sizzling sound and like the acrid smell of burning metal. Non-magical armor worn by the target is partially dissolved and takes a permanent and cumulative -1 penalty to the AC it offers. The armor is destroyed if the penalty reduces its AC to 10. So your AC, Tony, drops by one. So your shield, you can feel, you see holes punched in it. So basically, like, if you're going to be hit one more time, your shield is pretty much going to, like, disintegrate. So be careful. So that was a sweet block from Tony there, but now the one standing in front of you, Tony, is going to try and get some. Ooh, that's a natural 20, so it's really great that there's Bane. So still with Bane, that's going to be it's a 25 to hit you.
Yep.
Yep.
But it's not a natural 20, so that's cute. That's really cute. So let's see. That is going to be 1d6. Ooh, 9 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And then a bunch of acid damage. Oh, no.
Oh, no. I just watch her face.
That's going to be 16 points of acid damage.
Jesus fuck.
She is breathing heavy.
You still up?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And as this, like, pseudopod slaps over you, your shield just gives out. So you're losing that another 1 to AC. So basically you're down to AC 12 and your shield is destroyed.
Well, jeez.
And you hear a blah, 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 coming from the thing in front of you. Somewhere in the background, I mean, you all are pretty involved in what's going on, but you hear like a crunching sound as you see the cage that was holding this figure made out of paper, I guess, gently collapses to the floor. It's weird to see. It's like in slow motion as the cage is being severed and brought down. And Bartleby is, you know, tearing at this door and picks up this person who seems to be weighs almost nothing, like someone would, out of paper, and throws her on his back. And she, you know, clutches around his neck, like total damsel in distress from any movie. Around him, and you just hear like a clicking sound, and then you see fire, just a shitload of fire happening in the back, and splattering sounds as these little puddings towards the back that were crawling out of the barrels just start exploding in the wake of his whatever the hell is going on back there.
Damn.
Lou, we come back to you.
All right, bonus action, disengage.
Bye.
And then I'm gonna back the fuck up, and then I'm going to throw one of my knives into this mass of goo that tried to hit me.
Yep, fair.
Okay. Be 16.
Okay, a 16 will certainly hit.
15 plus 3, 18 points of damage. Ow! Reduced by half, I assume.
Yep, still. Shit! Rogues, man! Also, I am sorry, Tony. I needed you to make a constitution saving throw from me for me at the end of your last turn. Because you got slapped.
14.
Ooh, okay. All right, you're good. But barely. Roll higher, kid. All right. So, yeah, you do some sick, nasty damage to this thing, Lou, as one of your knives, like, passes through it and takes a significant, portion of the sludge with it. And for the first time, you hear like a wow, like a little tremble of fear, perhaps in that strange voice.
It's horrible, but I can't help but laugh.
Maybe that's why they're so angry. Nobody takes them seriously. So
things could have been different.
Have you ever thought about that? What if I wasn't a disgusting pile of filth? Anything else for you, Lou?
No, that's my turn. I'm 20 feet back.
I'm back here. Cool. So, Tony, now these two things are just right there by you, and it is your turn, darling.
Well, all I can really do is slash them, either with my whip or with my sword. So, we'll do the sword again.
Let's go. Are you attacking the one that Lou just attacked, or the one that looks relatively untouched still?
The one Lou just attacked.
Okay.
Yeah, stay close. I'm going to stay close to each other. That was a 21 to hit.
Hell yeah, that'll hit.
And that's with 10 damage.
And this is slashing damage?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have that. So we're going to have that damage. So you do 5 damage. And you see as you slice into this thing, once again, it splits. And you see 2 separate globs now that are significantly smaller than the original king, you know, the duke that you saw before, undulating on the ground. And they're going, hee hee, hee hee, more tricks, more tricks. Their voices are getting higher, apparently, as they're being split. So now there are 2 of these, 3 total of these fucking things.
Should I just leave? I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
You do seem to be dealing damage to them, and they are getting smaller, but the unfortunate side effect is that there are just more of them. So, I mean, you don't know. If you keep slashing them, they'll be so small maybe that they can't hurt
them.
You anymore. Yeah. You can step on them.
You can't hurt me anymore.
You can't hurt me anymore.
I got 4 hit points, so I'm just trying to do what I can while I'm still around, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they're all fucking... Now these tiny things are yelling at you, and this, like, slightly larger thing, and there's fire somewhere in the background, but that's behind you. You can't even deal with that right now. This is a very stressful situation.
Is this a metaphor for life?
Yes. My life is on fire. A la this boss battle, right? Sorry. You know, I put myself into my work. What can you say?
I'll get back into that defensive stance, and that's my turn.
Oh shit. Yep, so you use the bonus action to resume the stance, as now there are 3 of these things going dancing around you and vibrating. So,
nice.
Aoife, we're going to come to you. I need to refill my wine real quick.
Well, this is going great. I thought I was going to die right away, to be honest with you, but I feel pretty good now that I got the temporary hit points.
Nice. Yeah. I've been so excited waiting for one of you to see this cool little extra effect that you all get now.
Yeah, you're in the background like, just remember.
Just wait now.
Hi. Hi. Don't remember that buff I gave you? Don't forget it.
Oh, boy. Celeste is going to be like, do a saving throw. Tony's just like... passes it, but still uses the bardic inspiration for that.
I was gonna suggest it.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, on that last save. Well, you know, if you... Oh, well, you have to make the save now because you just hit them again. So you could. So go ahead, you make your constitution saving throw.
Oh, that's right.
Pop off, sis.
Yeah, we'll do that. And I will use my bardic inspiration because we need it.
Yay!
Holy shit, do we need it? Because I just rolled a 1. Plus 4, no. So 5.
Plus you have your breakfast inspiration that you can you can get a reroll on your
d20. Yeah.
That's 11 now, and then plus fucking 3 from my bardic inspiration.
Okay, that is good. 14 is good. Okay. 13 would have been a fail, so that
get 6 temp HP then.
All right, now we're at 10.
It's good, because you have hit the, just spoiler alert, the Slytherin courtiers have this really awesome feature called Toxic Shock. Just going to let you imagine what might have happened if you get hit by that. But since you were hit, your AC also goes down. You're
oh my God.
Starting to just really...
be naked soon.
Really be naked. My so you're down
goes
to
down
AC
again?
11. Yeah. So every time it hits you, the corrosive stuff is just splatters all over you.
Oh, shit.
The save is to resist the toxic shock effect, which is a fun little kicker from the template. The corrosive shit, this is just the black pudding nonsense.
Don't you have a crossbow?
No, I literally only have a greatsword and a whip.
I'm thinking about Rook. I miss her.
I know, if only Rook was here. She had those cool bullets that just like tore through Faye somehow.
I know, we should have just taken those out of her back.
Yeah, you really should have. If she wasn't so fucked up, she probably would have told you to, but alas.
Here we are.
Alas, here we are.
Here we are.
With Bartleby. I mean, he is doing fire, so he's doing something back there.
He's doing a fire.
He's doing something back there.
Seeing that Tony has been had the shit kicked out of her, Aoife is going to run up and she is going to stomp her hooves as like she's going to like run and jump and like stomp in this as hard as she can as she casts Thunder Wave. Upcasted a second level spell, so I'm going to need as many as I can get in a 15-foot cone of my Dear Duke puddings to make a Constitution saving throw for me.
Yeah. Also, you can get all three without hitting Tony. You're also going to hit the bathtub though. So if you want to destroy that beautiful work of art,
sick.
Wow. How dare you? This would have looked great in your house, in your room, Lou.
I could just imagine it, and I'll have one. I think. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
I think we're definitely going to have to imagine a bathhouse in one of the rooms after this.
For real. So DC 13 con saving throw, and they get the minus because of the...
Right, but then they have advantage because of magic resistance. So here we go. All right, okay. Con is, unfortunately, one that oozes our good art. So... Let me, they're just sacks of nasty, you know?
Pickle nasty sacks.
Pickle nasty sacks. Just. Oh boy.
Oh no.
Okay, so the first small one fails. You said DC 13, right? So the first small one fails. So rolling for the second small one. Wow. I don't like rolling physical dice. I roll like. But, so the second small one also fails. Ooh, but the big one, let me double check, but I'm pretty sure that, yeah, that is a success. So the two little ones take the full Monty.
Yeah, so the full Monty for the ones who failed is 20 damage and pushed back 10 feet. And then for the one...
All right, how do you splatter the two small ones?
Oh, nice. Yeah, you see the trash and everything that's just ripple across the floor. And then it just, like, you see, like, these old rusty pipes just, like, burst up from the thunder wave and skewer these little blobs and splatters them across the room.
Yeah, and you hear, no! Like, as they, you know, explode. And, yeah, just hit on the metal and fly to pieces. So there's just the one... Now it's small, no, it's medium-sized one that is standing there going, how dare you? How dare you?
And the one who did save will take just the half of 10 thunder damage, but is not pushed either.
So half, just 10. Okay. Yeah, so how dare you? It's standing there wiggling, but it is the only one remaining. Oh, no. Not the Duke of
And then we'll give our bardic inspiration back to Tony since she's right here with me.
Yay.
Inspired. Great. Just in time for the Duke's turn. Right. So the Duke. Let's see. So things are getting a little grim. So I think he's going to do some bullshit.
Some big old fae bullshit.
Big ol' fucking bullshit. Aoife, you never moved into the room, right? So you're... So, how close did you need to be to do your thunder business?
15 feet. Okay. Within 15 feet.
All right. So then, suddenly, Tony and Aoife, the world around you goes dark. Not like dark vision dark, like pitch black, cannot see... So dark, magical darkness, one might say, as you are just everything goes out for you all. You can't see anything. And Lou, you see this from the outside, like this dome of just pure, unpenetrable darkness appears before you. And this is something that you have seen drows love to use the darkness spell. That is very clearly what is happening here in front of you, because even your superior dark vision can't penetrate this. You can tell Lou from the outside, it looks like it's about 30 feet in diameter. It's like a half dome sphere. So it is taking up basically the center of the room. So you can only see the outer ring at this point, where Bartleby is like throwing spells and fighting these black sludgy things, but your two friends and the Duke are gone.
Yikes.
Ah, they're standing very clearly in the darkness somewhere, and you hear you hear just more like fire and another scream come from somewhere on the other side. So you all can hear this in the darkness. So you're not really sure what's happening, but I mean, you would see, Lou, that more of these things are starting to like pour out of the grates and walls, and Bartleby is now throwing fireballs and like arcane blasts, stopping this horde of these small little ooze things that are starting to pour into the room from all sides. And Lou, you have the move. What the hell are you doing with that?
Yeah, I think that instantly when she can't see them, her stomach just drops because she just gets nervous when she doesn't have visual contact on these two. And she is just going to...
Chaperone.
Yeah, her ears just kind of like twitch as she's like trying to listen to this annoying fucking voice that she's been hearing go on and on, and try to aim a throw towards it. All right. With one of her knives.
Yes, so you are trying to listen, trying to remember where you were, trying to guess how far this thing could have moved, so you're going to be rolling with disadvantage as you are trying to line up a shot somewhere into the dark.
Okay. 14.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, really? Oh my god, okay. Fucking rogues. Go ahead and roll me that damage. Ridiculous.
Okay. 5 plus 4 is 9, plus 4 is 13, plus 3 is 16 piercing damage.
Ooh, okay. All right. So reducing that to 8. So the last thing you heard before, like, the globe of darkness came up was like a, ha ha, try this. And then there was silence. And then you hear a, wow, like from inside, as you clearly made contact with something. And both like Aoife and Tony, you hear that from somewhere around you, like that little sound and like a thwack. So you think Lou somehow managed to hit it from the outside, or maybe Lou's in here too. You have no fucking idea. You can't see anything.
You just hear, I think I found the mouth from outside.
I got her!
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm not gonna throw another one in right now, because I'm running low on knives.
I know, they're all just, yeah, you hear the clattering of your knives falling
my
down
precious
on the stone.
Oh, baby. The tools of my craft.
We gotta get you some returning knives. When you start making that good bounty money, some returning knives, some magic weapons, everything will be good.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. So with that, Tony, we come to you. Totally surrounded by darkness. You have no idea how large the darkness is, because it's just nothing. You can try to attack, but you will be doing so at disadvantage. And if anything in the darkness can see through it and attack you, they will be attacking at advantage.
I want to shout out to Lou and see if like sound can escape this darkness, because I don't know what I'm facing here. Lou, are you in here?
You're just here from outside. Hell no. Not going in there.
Keep talking so I can follow your voice.
Oh, God. She just starts singing like a really bad song. Like, she is not gifted, but she will just start singing like show tunes.
Perfect. And Tony's
No, wait. Hang on. We can't just leave that there. What kind of musical show tunes would Lou personally go to? What are the kinds of Broadway shows that Lou, like, you know, the Phelan shows? What is it? She like a Sweeney Todd, or she's like the Lion King? Is she a cat?
She's a wicked girl. Like, she loves the transformation story. And
so gay.
The crying,
so fabulous.
The power of friendship, the romance.
The lesbian vibes. I'm here for it. Love that.
Okay. I like to imagine that Lark played the good witch in would be Glinda in Wicked.
So fucking lootly. But she was still mad anyways because that's not technically the most starring role. So.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so you hear like an off-key non-gravity coming from somewhere outside. So you can very easily move, but I will remind you, and this is something Tony would probably be aware of, if the enemy has put up darkness, they can probably see in the darkness, and they're probably closer than you think. So if you move, you may provoke an attack of opportunity, but you are not sure. You have no way of knowing whether or not this thing has, like, decided to stay around you or not.
I mean, most likely. I don't want to create a bunch of little ones in the darkness either.
That's horror.
These little slimes in the dark. I love how Campaign 2 has definitely turned into a horror-based D&D.
You said maybe two attacks of opportunity?
No, there's only one. Now. Last time you saw, you don't think it's split again because Aoife managed to explode the two little ones. So just one.
Was Aoife near me in this darkness?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll stay in my defensive stance and I'll say like, Aoife, I don't know if you're around me, but I'm here for you. I'm still standing.
And you can't pull me down.
You and I defy
gravity. Oh my goodness. Good. So good. For your action, you can take the dodge action so that it imposes disadvantage.
I was trying to look for that. No, I can't. Okay. Then yes.
Yeah. Dodge is in like the special attack actions in the player's handbook. It's not specifically on the fighter character sheet. So love it. All right. So you dodge. You're ready. You're like, I'm protecting Aoife. I'm protecting myself. You're listening. Like, any sound of a squish or a squidge. You're ready. You're standing ready in the darkness. So that is going to bring us to Aoife. So you hear Tony, I think, you know, in her heavy body and her heavy armor taking a defensive stance by you. And maybe there was even, like, a gauntleted hand, you know, that kind of hit you in the back. So Tony is there. She got you.
Yeah, Aoife will throw out a hand to be like, okay, all right, you're here. While you're here, Aoife's going to go ahead and throw out a Cure Wounds onto Tony.
Oh, nice.
While she knows where she is.
That's
so
nice.
So we'll go ahead and... Ooh, nice. We'll heal you up 10 hit points.
Ooh, God, thank you.
Ooh, honey.
Well, the dodge action also requires me to see when I'm dodging.
Oh.
So.
Oh. That makes sense.
Interesting. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. But we'll heal you up 10 HP and that'll be our turn.
Well, you feel better. You feel better. Question. If say, an ooze were to be looking at the two of you between Aoife and Tony, who looks worse at the moment? What is our HP situation?
I'm at 20.
I mean, Aoife's clearly the inferior puny one.
So you've less than 20 HP at this moment?
Yeah, yes. My HP total is less than 20.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
Right, yeah. So I think this coward Duke would absolutely attack Aoife in this moment. It's going to be a sick, sick advantage. Oh, that is a lot.
So with the buff from Tony, AC 16.
So I will say... Tony, you're on super guard right now, so you hear, like, suddenly from the dark, like, a slurping sound that you've come to recognize now as one of these beings forming a tendril and, like, a as it moves through the air and slaps down. So in this moment, you could choose to use your reaction you think Aoife is about to get.
Yeah, I will use my reaction, and I'll have it target me instead.
Okay. So Aoife, you, feel yourself being kind of thrown out of the way as Tony interposes herself here.
Nice.
So your total AC, so sorry, Nassim, I think there was some in the chat why it was wrong before. What is your total AC now with all of the reductions so far?
It should be 13, actually. I didn't want to interrupt before that it was 14 without my shield, but with it, it was at 16.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. All right, and I still have the Bane on me, so that's still going to be a 19 to hit you, so that's still coming in hot. So you are getting slapped by this thing, and you hear, "No, that wasn't for you."
Nice.
So you are going to take 4 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Plus the acid. That's the real thing. That's the real. That's going to be 18 acid damage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's down.
So Aoife and Lou, I think you would very clearly hear Tony's mask like hitting the ground as the armor clatters and all the weaponry she carried, and just Tony is down. And Aoife, you don't feel that presence standing by you anymore. And you hear a from the dark. Also, just for funsies, your armor is reduced by 1. And let's see, do you even get to make a constitution saving throw if you're unconscious? Or do you just auto fail? Let's see.
I sure hope so.
Automatically fail strength and dex saving throws, so you still get to make a constitution saving throw just fine. For whatever reason,
D&D. Can I choose to use my bardic inspiration whilst unconscious?
You know, is there anything in bardic inspiration that says you can't? I don't think so.
No.
Sick.
You can use it for death saving throws because it is a saving throw.
It's fucking weird because that'll get Tony back up. Weird. This is fucking weird. All right. We found another Tasha's cool broken loophole. Ass hole. Thanks, guys. All right. Go for it.
So that's now 18 for the constitution saving throw.
Okay. So you succeed.
And then does that mean I get plus 18 to my health?
Plus whatever what it was on the bardic inspiration die. What you rolled on that plus 3.
Oh. I figured since I succeeded, I didn't. Okay. 4, so 7.
So if you rolled a 4 on the bardic inspiration die, you would just get the 4.
Yeah, plus 3.
And then it
plus
adds 3.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. And which one did Tony have? Did Tony have the star? Which one? Which
the clover.
Star? The clover. Okay. Aoife, tell us, how does the clover bring fucking Tony back to life? What is this fucking nonsense? Please explain it to me.
So, like, from the, as Tony, like, falls, just, like, clatters onto the ground, and then only Tony would hear that emitting from the clover is this, the softest, like, one line of a children's lullaby, that, like, has the sound of her father's voice.
Oh. Oh. Papa. Faja, can you hear me?
This is a very musical episode. I hate it.
But you said I still lost a point to my AC, so now I'm at 12.
Yes.
Okay.
So Tony is getting more naked as this fight goes on.
There's like, what's happened to me in this battle? All this
is the AC.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Sorry, kid. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. Maybe you should have taken the potion. Who knows? Frontline fighter.
It's too late now.
It's too late now.
True.
We're learning how to be fighters and stuff. These are all new classes, everybody. We 5 years. I mean, it's hard. Okay, we're relearning. Great. So you, Tony, back to life. All of a sudden, the world goes dark, and you're like, "Well, it was already dark, but it also goes warm and happy." And suddenly, you're not in a place filled with crap and. You hear something, you know, it's you feel great. And then all of a sudden you hear this like rhyme and you're back again and you feel your chest like, you know, opening up. And you're still surrounded by darkness, but you can tell that you are on the floor. So you must have just dropped unconscious or something.
Just lets out a wheeze.
Oh, we're here again. Oh, life. Life. Your back hurts. You can tell that piece. You can hear as you fell, your armor has gotten brittle and is like crunching off your body. So pieces of it like shards of glass underneath you, you know, as you shift your weight and you're like, oh. But you're back. You are currently prone, but that was the Duke's turn. So Bortleby is continuing to throw sling spells in the back. And you can see that he is now, Lou, you're the only one who can see this. He's looking up at one of these like red grates that move into the ceiling. And he yells over the sound of like squishing and slurping from more of these things pouring in. I don't mean to rush you, but we should probably leave. You would all hear this. Lou is the only one who sees this.
Did you get the thing?
God.
We're good. You hear a feminine voice call out to you, and you're like, the paper girl maybe said that to you?
Do they seem to be like moving towards an exit, or what are they doing?
Yeah, so he's kind of taken a position underneath one of these grates and is clearly like forming a circle now. So whereas there started to be like 15 or so of these like ooze things, more and more have poured in each round as this has happened. So he's like forming a circle maybe in the middle of 30 of these things, and he seems to be preserving the way underneath this grate here and looking upwards. Like maybe he's going to put a rope or something. It's clear to you that he has like found a point of exit. So if you can get over to that, then that's probably what y'all need to do to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Aye, aye.
And then Lou, we come to you.
Yeah, I think that she's going to start moving towards Bartleby and just be like, follow the sound of my voice. I'll guide you guys the right way. I'm through accepting limits because someone says they're so.
Nice. Excellent.
Sweet baby. Can't believe she hasn't had sex in 10 years.
Me either.
That was weird. I'm sorry, everyone.
Remind me to give you some voice lessons.
Why?
What do you mean? I have a beautiful voice.
No one in my family has ever said anything otherwise.
That's fine. So yes, you can absolutely move to the other end of the room and get close to this ring where Bartleby is. So basically, if you needed to jump up or do whatever it is, you are there, you are ready to go. And you're calling this out to your friends. But what are you doing with your action?
Oh, God, I'm never going to get these knives back, but people are in danger. So she's going to take out her paring knife because it's the smallest and cheapest to replace.
Yeah.
And she will go ahead and throw it back into the darkness, trying to hear where this guy is again.
All right. Disadvantage. See if you can nail him twice.
Okay. So first one is a 9.
A 9 is exactly what you need.
Oh, really? Fuck. Okay.
Love it. You love to see it.
Oozes. All right. Piles of goo. No armor.
Ooze problems.
But it is ridiculous that in the fucking dark, you do this. And I'm afraid of Lou, officially. This is terrible. This is terrifying. That you can do that twice in a row.
It's these big ears.
Yeah, I'm afraid of your voice and your ability to throw in the darkness.
16 points of piercing.
All right. So reducing that to 8. Again, you hear that. Oh, God. Damn it! But it still appears to be living. You don't know. It's still making like sounds that don't like end abruptly. So
that's my turn.
All right. Okay. So from the ground, Tony, here you are. You just heard the ow once again. You feel like you have a pretty good sense of where this thing is. It just let that cry out, and like Lou, you know, you can hear her voice here. So I'll say, if you want to make a swing, I'll just give you normal roll on this, because between all the noise, this fucking guy is making no effort to hide himself and being ridiculous.
All right, we gotta get out of here. Here we go. 10 to hit.
That's fine. It's just a 9 is all you needed.
Oh my God. Okay. Beautiful.
So, go ahead and roll me that damage.
4 damage.
That's enough, honey. What?
Jesus.
Nice.
What is it like when you cleave into this thing? What is the awkward in the dark struggle? Like, what's going on?
I think it is just like the ugliest, ungraceful swing, because she is hurting too. So it's really just like, trying her hardest to lift the sword up and then letting gravity swing it right back down in front of her where she thinks she heard it.
Yeah, and you're like on the ground, so it's a half kind of swing of the body, right? Just did wrestling move on my desk. Wrestling move it, as you go and slap at it, I think with the flat of your blade. And you just hear the, you know, the stops suddenly as it explodes. And you see it rapidly because as this thing dies, the darkness just drops. And you see all that is left of the Duke of Pudding is this metallic crunching that when you kind of lift your sword up here, you just see that smashed little like crown that was floating around inside its body is now smashed on the ground. You're like, wow, that's probably made of aluminum or something.
I'm taking that.
Taking that, yeah. You take this nasty, like, it's like a Burger King crown that has been made of, like, tinfoil is essentially what this thing looks like and is now kind of smashed on the ground.
A fine trophy, Aoife. Good on you.
She'll turn it into a charm.
Yeah, no, this will be fine. And yeah, so now, God, the Duke, it's gone. It's gone in front of you. And Bartleby, you can all see now these hordes of these slime things beyond. And he looks at you all and just wide-eyed with panic. And the, you know, the paper person on his back is also just screaming. She's just very, very like ingenue screaming this whole time, doing nothing helpful. And he looks at you and extends like a ray of green from his like clawed hands, and you see like a bunch of these slime things either explode or like have to throw themselves out of the way as they form an aisle towards where he is standing. And he reaches up and this like golden lasso of light reaches up to the grid up above, and he goes, "Move! Move!"
Fucking hauling ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lou's running back, but she keeps turning her head and looking at the knives on the ground as she does. Wipes one tear away and keeps running.
You have time to grab, let's see, one fell kind of by you. What is the one you save, Lou? What is the real favorite knife?
Oh, God. I think it's just the first one she ever got, just a standard chef knife.
Yeah. Yeah, you pick it up out of the filthy water and stuff, and you're like, at least I have you. You know, shove it back into a sheath as you're running up. So in a flurry of activity and arcane explosions and, like, adrenaline, you all manage to haul yourself up this golden rope that Bartleby has conjured from nowhere. And, you know, there's a blast at some point and a grate is exploded and you all are running for your lives through some tunnels. And suddenly, after all of this activity, and the point, you stop suddenly and you realize that you're standing in these tunnels and it's quiet and nothing is following you and all of you are there breathing heavily. You've been running your asses off, but you've made it. You're safe. And yeah, that feels like a pretty good place to end the episode for this evening. So congratulations, you guys. You survived not only your first dungeon, but also your first encounter with a courtier of one of the sovereign courts.
Yay! Gross.
Did it. This surely will not come back to bite us.
Nope. I'm sure nobody will be upset that you killed the Duke of Pudding.
That's why we had to take the crown, so we could prove it.
Yeah. Yeah, look, cool. So obviously we have one more thing to do before we close, but before we read this letter for this evening, I'm also here to tell you all level up. You all level up for surviving that dungeon and that boss fight. So fucking congrats. Oh, we are going to be leveling up faster than we were in campaign one, I promise. So here we go. We're going to be level 4 next time y'all see us. So that's super fun.
Oh, oh my God. Ability score increase.
So
ooh, ready. Feats.
Oh, God, yes. Level 4 is a good level. Level 4 is a good level, and I want to throw meaner things at you, so enjoy that, so I can hurt more. Yay! But before we do our, you know, our outros and our business, I think we've got a letter. We've got a letter to read, and maybe this was something that happened, like, just when you had come back to Bucatini after collecting yourselves and in the action and the moment, you know, Aoife, when a waiter at Bucatini handed you this letter, you didn't really think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe when you were traveling through the sewers or at some point, you know, in a dull moment or after this, whatever, you remember you have this letter on you that was delivered to Bucatini and apparently handed off for you specifically by name. And this letter comes in this envelope that's a beautiful, you know, cream, like white with a gold enamel just on the edges. And like the stamp is just this, it just screams like Eldrin wealth. Honestly, as you are looking at this this envelope, and you can open it up, and would you care to read the letter that is inside that young Aoife has received?
Oh, yes, most definitely. So, yeah, I definitely imagine that after all this is done, when she has a moment to herself and opens up this extravagant letter and reads, "Dearest Aoife, it was such a pleasure meeting you earlier today." Oh, that's nice. "Right after you left, I mentioned you to my manager, and she was just as thrilled, can you believe that? Thrilled about me, to hear about a promising new designer from the Valley. Oh, I hope you don't mind that I sent you this note. Apparently your drow friend is the daughter of some kind of celebrity. My co-workers knew exactly where she would be staying. And you too, I hope. Oh, well, lucky me. At any rate, I know this is super late notice, but we're having a student showcase in 2 weeks, and we would love if you would submit a piece." And she screams into her pillow. "The theme is Everyday Eldrin." Oh, that's kind of boring, but we'll see what we can do with that. "But beyond that, you can use whatever colors and patterns you want." Oh, they're gonna learn the word pattern by the time I'm through. "If you can swing it, stop in the store or mail the piece over to us in 10 days. Okay, all right, that's small. "Looking forward to seeing you again. Kisses, Isadora Fairfax." And she, like, kicks her leg super fast at the edge of the bed and, like, squeals.
Yeah, so super sweet little letter from that woman you met earlier, who you didn't catch her name in the store, but apparently that was Isadora that you met at that dress shop. So you have only 10 days to find the materials, the means, and something to make this a piece to submit to this. But yeah, cool. Yeah, so that's our letter, and we got that level, so that's it. That's it, gang. That's the business. So, thank you all so much for joining us for episode 15 of the Venture Maidens podcast. We are so glad you're here. So glad we survived that slime poop dungeon. Good job. I promise the next one won't be as gross. Probably, maybe. I can't promise that, actually. So, no, I can't.
Maybe, thank you.
Maybe. Before we go, I, of course, always like to remind you all watching, if you enjoy the show, please do make sure to subscribe, like, follow. Follow us on social media everywhere. We're at Venture Maidens. That's the best way to hear, you know, exciting news about the show, what we're up to. And of course, if you really enjoyed the show, you can always join our Patreon. Patreon is a very cool website where you can go and support your favorite creators monthly. You can donate at different like tier levels, and we give you rewards. So there now currently, if you signed up as a $1 a month donor, you can get literally hundreds of hours of bonus content, including full campaigns. Our Rime of the Frostmaiden campaign, we played through Wizards of the Coast, Rime of the Frostmaiden, and a bunch of other awesome stuff. So go over there. Cool coloring book pages, magic items. It's good shit. And we always like to take some time to thank the wonderful, wonderful donors who donate at the highest tier levels to keep us going. You guys really do keep the lights on, and we appreciate the hell out of you. So let's go around and thank some of our patron donors. So for the Arnie's Cohorts tier, thank you so much, Cody Becker at CodyRolls4 on Twitter.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Oh, you're muted.
Oh. Sorry, thank you, Curry.
Quietly.
Thank you, Muffin, at the one on Drury Lane.
Thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you to Richie113 from our Discord.
And now our Ferris Drinking Mate tier. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Markali.
Oh, thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Fable.
Oh, and I love that I get to thank Tony.
Yay! Tony, it's thank kismet. You all rock, and the Pharaoh's drinking mate tier is our $25 tier, and our Arnie's cohorts, words are hard, is our $50 tier, so you guys fucking rock our world. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much for everything you do. Y'all are fab. So with that, we will be back in 2 weeks. Yes, 2 weeks. Yeah. That was great. Well, thank you so much, everybody. I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I've been playing Elphaba, I mean Lou. Saf, your drow rogue.
I'm Nassim, and I have been your green and hurtin' half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I'm your barely keeping it together bard, Aoife Flannery, played by Sage.
Hell yeah. Well, you know what? We did it. Next time we'll be so powerful. Were there any other news announcements that we wanted to say? Maybe. Do we get it? Oh, we're good.
We're good.
Can't wait to fucking see y'all next time. But until then, everybody.
Venture away!